headline that struck me today in the Irish Daily Mail is from Tom Dorley, and it says, if we want to sell The Gathering to the Brits, we need a lot less of this, a lot less of this. And there's a list of like all the sort of paddy whackery things in the pub and the leprechauns and all that. And we need a lot more of this. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. But is there a point to be made there? Or how do people view Ireland? Do they view us as, I mean, you say Ireland around the world and people go, ah, Guinness. It's the first thing they do. They might go, ah, leprechauns. If that's our unique selling point, should we concentrate on that, or do we have other things that we need to concentrate on? Tom's on the line. Tom, how are you?
Hi, Colin. Not too bad. Thank you.
Okay. So, actually, you were saying in the article that you worked in advertising years ago, so you understand that unique USP, as they say, the unique selling point. And for some, people would think that our unique selling point is our pub culture and our paddy quackery and our diddly-eye dancing. You don't agree, necessarily?
I don't think it actually exists in the form that we promote it as. I mean, Colin, if you take the average Irish pub, and this is why I think the imagery of using the pub as being at the centre of everything Irish is all wrong. Listen, there are some fantastic pubs in Dingle and the west of Ireland and Mulligan's and Poolbeg Street. We all know them, but they're few and far between. The average Irish pub is the kind of place that anyone with any sense would run a mile from, and they certainly wouldn't travel thousands of miles to come to Ireland to experience that. You know, my argument is...
But do they not want to experience, the tourists want to experience those unique pubs? In other words, when somebody goes to Paris, they don't say, can you show me a little tower? They want to see the Eiffel Tower. So if they come to Ireland to see the pubs, they want to see the pub in Dingle or Johnny Fox's.
Well, you see, that sort of follows on from my point.
Right.
Those pubs that have that kind of image, atmosphere, et cetera, are very few and far between. They aren't representative of the Ireland that most tourists are actually going to experience on a random basis of wandering around the country. I've got nothing against the idea of those really great pubs, which are unique to Ireland, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. My only argument is that there aren't very many of them, and that actually the real Ireland, the Ireland that people are going to encounter on their trip here, is actually quite different. And that maybe,
but it may be quite different, but is it interesting?
A lot of it isn't. You're absolutely right. But I think what we have to do is actually rethink what we are, what we have to sell, and to actually get a little bit away from the idea of what I call the paddy whackery, which is this notion that we Irish, despite the fact that we can attract fantastic investment from high-tech things from around the world, that we're actually this strange, childlike, simple people who say things in all seriously, you know, like a stranger is just a friend you haven't met. Well, no, come on. I mean, do we know anyone who talks like that?
Do you think this is the way also, we've had that debate last year about the way Angela Merkel and the rest of the guys and gals who seem to be running at the moment, that's the way they look at the Irish, a little pat in the head, aren't you just great all the same there with your island and the next parish being New York? Jeez, that's some walk to get to the next parish. But do you think we portray ourselves too much? Or is that not a USP in such? Is it because the French, we think of the French and the way they are and the wine, the onions around the neck and the Italians on their Vespas. It's the way people see the different countries and the cultures.
It certainly is. It doesn't mean that that's a good thing. And I absolutely agree that actually the way we've promoted ourselves and the way that we've encouraged people from overseas to see us as this little kind of quirky island with its strange spiritual sense of itself on the edge of Europe is probably not doing us any favours, because, as you say, the people who really run this country at this stage are perhaps a little bit inclined to say, you'll be grand, pat you in the head, and actually treat us like children, because in a way we kind of portray ourselves like, in that sort of way.
No, I know, and this little magical island and Finian's Rainbow and Diddly-Eyed Loodle and dancing at the crossyards the crossroads. But, okay, so where do we go then? Okay, so let's park that. And unfortunately, we're never going to get away from paddy whackery, and paddy whackery sells some tickets to some people.
On the other side,
because you have this column on your we need to sell a lot more of this. What is this that you want to sell that you think would be unique?
Well, kind of aspects of Ireland that don't seem to get a fair shout in terms of promotional activity. And that would be things like, and this is somewhat elitist, there's no doubt about it, but that's a market that is worth pursuing. And I'd be talking about things like the West Cork Chamber Music Festival, the National Concert Hall, the Science Gallery at Trinity, which is absolutely fantastic and a world leader in what it does there. The whole world is watching Downton Abbey and so on and so forth. We should be promoting these fantastic grand country houses that we have,
yes.
Some of which have yet to be turned into multinational hotels and so on and so forth. The fact that we are quite a literary centre, a centre for the arts. You know, the arts, the way we promote Ireland in terms of the arts is that we sort of suggest that we celebrate Yeats and Joyce and Beckett by having a street festival. I mean, that's how it comes across to people.
Or a pub crawl.
Or indeed a pub crawl, yeah.
Brendan Meehan drank in there. There's a plaque outside the front and James Joyce drank there.
Sure, they were all, how they find time to write anything at all is
Getting through that thirsty muse. Oh, so much,
Exactly. But that's sort of the, I'm not proposing this as the complete alternative, but I think we should complement the Paddy Factory that will always be with us, God help us, with something a little bit more accurate, a little bit more real, because, you know, 98% of us in this country, Colm, you know, when we think of an Irish pub, we don't think of a couple of fiddle players and a baron player in a corner with twinkly-eyed natives saying really deep philosophical things in an amusing way. You know, we know that's not how things work here. Whereas if we think about those things that I've just outlined there, they are real and they're very valuable and they're not really getting the profile overseas that I think they deserve. And it attracts a different kind of tourist. And I would argue maybe the kind of tourist who has more to spend, because, you know, the average American tourist tends to stick like a limpet to the bus tours, and they're on a very tight budget. It's great that they come here and rediscover their roots and so forth, and it does bring something to the economy, but they're not lavish spenders. We all know that.
Well, this is the pint of Guinness tourist who goes into Johnny Fox's at 6, orders a pint of Guinness, and then just about finishes at 12. Yeah,
exactly.
And then if there's an L-free bag of crisps, they'll go for that.
There's
one I was reading that you've written down. It would be quite controversial. That's the fact that England has banned hunting. We haven't yet. And that we could encourage people who loved an owl hunt over there in England, come on over here and chase our foxes should they're open game.
Well, it's highly controversial. I have to say, while I'm not anti-hunting, I certainly don't want to come out and do it. I don't see what's fun about chasing animals across the countryside and killing them. However, the fact is it is a huge part of rural life. I live in the country, and I was out yesterday. I encountered the West Waterford hunt, and they were off. And it is something that you can't do in Britain because, the
bandit.
British policy on this is very out of tune with country life. In this country, country life is represented very well, in one sense, by politics. Mm. But it means that you can hunt here. Now, it's actually quite difficult to hunt as a tourist. But it is possible, and I know certainly in County Limerick that this happens, and those people spend a great deal here. And after all, you know, horses, it's one of the things that we do best.
Absolutely.
And while, as I say, I'm not, you know, a pro hunting lobbyist by any means, my own view is each to their own.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to do it, but I'm not going to stop other people doing it. And if we have that to offer, should we not be, you know, should we not?
I pity the copywriter that has to write that ad.
I was just going to say, wearing my copywriter hat, I think I'd be sucking the end of my pencil for a fair while.
That's a really tough one. I can understand what you're saying. It's there, and maybe there's something we could tap into. But wow.
Yeah, come the, come the, come and kill our fox. No, it doesn't have a ring.
See, it doesn't. You can't. There's no way you can do it. And there's so many people in Ireland, even around the cities and that, that are convinced that hunting actually was banned. You know,
there are very, a lot of urban people are amazed when they go to the country and they find dozens and dozens of people on horses with dogs and taking over the centre of the village. But it's part of rural life. You know?
So here's, okay, you wouldn't be all for the left-handed festival that's going to be in Mullingar then next year as part of the gathering. Or there's a three-day pilgrimage for all Catholic priests beginning in Ballintubber Abbey and concluding on Crowpatrick. And also, we're all looking forward to next year's the World Irish Stew Championship.
Oh, I quite fancy that one. Okay. I think it's great that people are being inventive and creative. And the ones you mentioned there, they may be slightly offbeat or completely mad in some cases. Mm. But it, you know, we do need to make the effort, and I suppose that's my point that I'm trying to make in this, I mean, fairly considerably tongue-in-cheek way in the Daily Mail this morning, is that we should think more broadly, we should think more creatively, and that we shouldn't necessarily just rest easy with the image that we've created of ourselves and the image that people overseas have of us. We're much more complex than that. Frankly, we're a hell of a lot more interesting.
Okay, so we're not going to see a picture of you in a leprechaun suit, Tom Dorley, advertising the gathering at all.
Listen, for the right fee, I'd consider it.
Tom, please, don't go back and watch your article. Listen, good talking to you. Take care of yourself. Tom Dorley from, you can read this article in the Irish Daily Mail. If we want to sell the gathering to the Brits, we need a lot less of this. Why can't I say less? And that's all about the Paddy Wackery and the pub and Darby O'Gill and all that sort of stuff. And he thinks we need a lot more of this. One of them, which I think is quite controversial that he was mentioning there, is the fact that we don't have a ban on hunting, and we could encourage some of the great lords and ladies, whoever did all the hunting in England, to come across and have a great old hunting weekend over here in Ireland. Because we still allow you to chase the foxes through the wild countryside. No bother at all. All right, if you want to get to us, 1850 715 922. What do you think of Tom? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Give us a text as well, 51552. We'll take you all the way to lunch. Siobhan, how are you?
Hello, Grant. Thank you. Very well indeed.
You were listening to Tom Dorley there talking about the gathering.
I was indeed.
Now, how do you... You've been away from Ireland, so how do you see it? How do you see this gathering working?
Well, I have to be honest. Well, I think it's a great idea, and trying to do what it can to boost the Irish economy, I think it's a very laudable idea. But the thing that I have to say, in all the years, many, many, many years I lived out of Ireland, Paddy Wackery and the whole Guinness thing, that was not the first thing that came to mind when I confirmed to people my country of origin. You know, I don't know how I sound to you, but I think in general I'm perceived not to sound particularly Irish. Although as each week passes, I'm getting more and more Irish.
Where were you living for the 27 years?
All over the world.
Right. Okay.
In the UK, in Spain, in America, in Azerbaijan, in Holland. You know, all over. And do you know, almost the first word out of people's mouths was "you too," rather than Guinness. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm very fond of a pint of Guinness and all the rest. But the whole pub culture thing was not by any, and I can put my hand on my heart and say that seriously, it was not what people spoke of.
You're saying you were living in Azerbaijan. I bet you probably within 5 mile radius of where you were, there was probably an Irish bar. I mean, just
there
think. But there you
was.
Go. Think of the Irish bars in every country in the world. Why is this? Why have we created this Irish bar monster? And you're saying it's all about smart marketing.
I mean, it maybe it's smart marketing. I mean, let's face it. What was it? I read some statistic the other day that the second most visited corporate attraction after Disney and Disneyland, Disney World, Euro Disney is Guinness.
Guinness Hop Store, yeah.
You know, the Hop Store. That's the second most in the world, you know, most visited corporate attraction. I mean, that can't be denied from a financial point of view, and what a powerful company Diageo are, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. But And I think it's just smart marketing. You know, it is a gathering place, no pun intended, et cetera, et cetera. And enterprising Irish people who were not able perhaps to forge a career for themselves here in Ireland or survive financially here in Ireland are managing to make a living in other countries by doing the, you know, paddywhackery thing, etc.
But I mean, marketeers are very you know, interesting chaps and girls who go, and they do a lot of focus groups and they do a lot of research. And the reason that Guinness set up a hop store is because they realised that a huge amount of tourists who land in Ireland actually go to a pub and say, I'll try your pint of Guinness. And Diageo are going, hang on a second, why don't you try it where it's made? Because there is this huge association. Again, the Irish pubs all around the world, why is that? Why do you walk into somewhere like in the middle of Mongolia and there's an Irish bar and there's a black bicycle hanging out of the ceiling? The reason being, because that's what we're associated with. When you go to...
But it's not the only thing.
No, I know
that's
it's...
That's why I was ringing to say to you that. I mean, I got into the car, turned on the radio. I hadn't heard the early part of the conversation. Just you talking about what had been in the mail and so on and so forth and reasons why the Brits won't come and how to market Ireland to Britain. Well, the marketing guys have then got it woefully wrong if they're not marketing to our closest neighbour. I mean, culture is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Our literary culture, the music, I would say, Colin, that music was one of the things that people talked to me about. In Spain, they have a huge interest in all Irish bands and in both what, you know, what people would call the idol music and then rock music, except like the whole spectrum was something that people...
But can I not say to you again that the music tradition in Ireland, if you come over to, as a tourist now, has a huge and very close association with either the pub or with drink. I mean, all our major festivals are sponsored by drink companies. And if you want to get a bit of the old diddly eye, as they call it, you go to Matt Malloy's in Westport or down to Temple Bar and you go into a pub. And if you want to see the Irish dancing or whatever, you go up to Johnny Fox's and again you go into a pub. And it just seems to be that any form of tourist activity that we sell or market has a correlation with drink.
But I mean, we're a small country, Colin. 4.3 million. In terms of funding, budget to market ourselves around the world, the lowest common denominator is going to be the easiest way to get people into the country. And then, you know, a lot of Americans come to explore their roots. I'll tell you what you're not going to do is you're not going to get me to agree here on the telephone that absolutely it is pubs that is the first thing that comes to people's minds, because I can say, speaking from personal experience, 27 years out of the country, and it was not the first thing on people's lips, nor the second, nor the third.
Well, what was the first thing?
Well, an awful lot of people spoke to me. For instance, in Spain, a lot of people spoke to me very fondly about Spain because their ability to speak English came about as a consequence of coming on a 6-week, 8-week, language exchange trip here.
Right.
So their source of their ability to communicate and or maybe even to have progressed professionally because of the ability to speak the two lingua francas of the world, after Mandarin, was the fact that they had learned to speak it here. I'll tell you, the people, the nation is what people have talked to me about. Colin, the number of times I was mistaken for being British, the number of times I was mistaken for being Canadian, and when I then corrected people, and particularly when I said, no, I'm not English, I'm Irish, the people's faces cracked into big smiles, and people immediately said, oh, we love the Irish. Mm. And when I pressed people on what do you mean we love the Irish, the Irish are so nice, the Irish are this, the Irish are that, and the nutshell of it is, if you slice an Irish person down the middle, the average person has decency running right through them. We're the biggest contributors the world over. in terms of giving charitable giving. That has its roots in us being decent people. Religion, people talk to me about religion and the religious thing. The IRA, I'll tell you something, the IRA and conversations about the IRA and this political situation in the North certainly would have taken a higher billing in people's conversations than talking about Guinness and talking about pubs. And I can only obviously pontificate on my own, from my own point of view, or my own experiences. And I mean, I then ended up with, the more you talk to people and what have you, people are saying, oh, when I was in Ireland, or I went to a very nice pub, or asking for recommendations when people were coming over, places to go, et cetera, et cetera. But it wasn't the first and the first thing out of people's mouths.
As so you, you think really our strength is us as a nation, the people
yes,
that
I
we
do.
Are, the you
yes,
know,
I
the,
do.
Our hospitality,
yes.
our
Without
friendliness.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I had a conversation with a Greek friend of mine, and we were many years ago, and we were making the comparison about why do we get on so well, just, you know, personally. And we were both talking about the fact that it was an integral part of our cultures, combined cultures, that you know, you walk in the door in an Irish person's house and they're pressing a cup of tea on you, a bit of cake, you never leave. You know, even if the curtains are threadbare and the same of the carpet, you still rarely leave an Irish person's house without having imbibed something.
Yeah.
And I don't mean alcohol.
But somebody's texted in, just, Siobhan, somebody's texted in and say, come on now, everyone. People from other countries do associate us with our pubs, our music and our general good crack. But there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a negative thing.
True. It isn't. But I suppose the reason I jumped on the phone was to say, here, listen, it isn't paddy whackery in all the countries I visited and in all the years I was away and in all the people I spoke to, and I talk a lot, there wasn't a single... I you know, no fib here. It was not the first thing out of people's mouths.
Okay.
And, you know... So I can, as I say to you, Colin, I can only say to you that there is another point of view out there, another point of view.
Another unique selling point, which we need to jump onto.
Us.
All right, listen, Siobhan. Yeah, us, the Irish. Thanks for the call.
Pleasure.
Okay, take care of yourself. See you
Bye.
Now. Just another text, Colin. We are associated with great fun, laughter, crack and storytelling, plus loads more. People abroad want to go to Irish bars because they'll have a great night. The French, Germans, Austrians, etc. have just as big a drink culture as we do. They just don't go on about it. Well, let me put it, I mean, there's no great tradition. You don't go, oh, I'm going to Paris. Oh, I love those French bars. They're just, when you go down the countryside in France, they're the best crack. They aren't. They're awful. They're appalling. Some of them don't even have seats in them. And they drink the strangest old muck of wine as well. So, you know, we do have a great culture for in our bars. And a lot of people say it's because down the countryside and that, it's the only place that people ever met. And also, our weather is so appalling, we do everything indoors. Which we do. Okay, now, 1850 715922 if you want to get to us, 51552. The Gathering. Okay, are we right about it? Are we wrong about it? Tom Dorley, do you agree with Tom or what he's saying? Siobhan reckons it's the people, not necessarily the pubs. But guess what are in the pubs? The people. Right, a couple of texts coming in on the Gathering column. I've worked in countries all over the world. And you two were always top of the bill for their first mention. Now, are you two getting involved in the Gathering at all? Are they being used at all? Are we going to use their... Are they allowing us to use them? Will they do a big gig for the Gathering? I mean, if it's coming in all the time, you can be damn sure Guinness are getting involved. Why don't you two get involved as well? Maybe they have already at this stage. I don't know. Colm, we were... There was one more about the Gathering there. Oh, yes. Colm, you can tell how civilised a nation is by the way it treats its animals. Please don't offer hunting as a holiday destination.